To, da ti vladajo, pomeni,
da te nadzirajo,
opazujejo,
indoktrinirajo,
pridigajo,
ocenjujejo,
presojejo,
cenzurirajo
in ukazujejo ljudje,
ki nimajo za to ne pravice, ne znanja, ne vrline.
Da ti vladajo, pomeni, da si
registriran,
popisan,
obdavčen,
označen,
patentiran,
odpuščen,
preprečevan,
reformiran,
kaznovan.
Pomeni tudi, da si pod pretvezo javne koristi in splošnega interesa
dresiran,
ogoljupan,
izkoriščan,
monopoliziran,
izsiljevan,
izžeman,
varan,
okraden. Pri najmanjšem znaku odpora ali ugovoru
te zatrejo,
kaznujejo,
zaničujejo,
nadlegujejo,
preganjajo,
zmerjajo,
potolčejo,
razorožijo,
zadušijo,
zaprejo,
ustrelijo,
obsodijo,
preženejo,
žrtvujejo,
prodajo,
izdajo.
In da bi bila mera polna, te še smešijo, slepijo, sramotijo in onečastijo.
Črna luknja!
If the police and courts are lacking in the powers necessary to keep order in a free society, then we shall introduce measures which give them what they need.
V nocojšnji oddaji se bomo z Johnom Zerzanom, radikalnim kritikom civilizacije in teoretikom anarhoprimitivizma, pogovarjali o zeleni anarhiji in neoprimitivizmu, o civilizaciji in tehnologiji, ter o tem, kakšno je bilo in je lahko življenje izven civilizacije. Radikalni kritik civilizacije in glavni teoretik primitivizma Zerzan med intelektualci izziva ogorčenje, pogosto tudi posmeh, spet med drugimi pa nezaupanje in začudenje. Akademska skupnost nam gleda kot na anarhističnega teoretičnega nedonošenčka, ob tem, da ga anarhisti in levičeri večinoma sovražijo, mainstream mediji pa so v njem med drugim našli tudi spektakularnega guruja novega gibanja.
Mind and movement control.
Zerzan v tehniki, civilizaciji in kapitalizmu vidi neločljivo enotnost dominacije nad naravo in človekom. Tako kot delitev dela je tudi tehnologija ena od predpostavk sistema, zato zahteva po njenem uničenju vziva panično reakcijo, ker pod vprašaj postavlja ne le celoten sistem, temveč tudi vse, kar tvori osnovo našega načina življenja. V tem pa se nahaja tudi glavna razlika med Zerzanom, levico in različnimi antikapitalističnimi skupinami, ki sprejemajo ekspanzijo sredstev za proizvodno in nadaljni razvoj tehnologije, medtem ko je primitivistična tendenca tista, ki v to dvomi. Čeprav ga pogosto razume kot nekoga, ki rešitev vidi v vrnitvi v kameno dobo, ker je običajno tudi glavni argument za njegovo diskreditacijo, pa Zerzan in primitivisti inspiracijo najde v dejstvu, da so ljudje skozi obdobje 2 milijonov let lahko živeli avtentično in zdravo, svobodno in neomejevano tukaj in zdaj brez predstavljanja in simboličnih posredovanj. Življenje pred pojavom civilizacije naj bi temeljilo na egalitarizmu, deljenju, relativni avtonomiji in enakopravnosti spolov. Zakaj ljudje prihajajo do tako imenovanega anticivilizacijskega zaključka, je prvo vprašanje, ki si ga Zerzan zastavi.
I think one reason is the more personal or individual or even spiritual one, that civilization prevents freedom and wholeness. And I think it's a very valid reason. And I think that Freud, 75 years ago, in Civilization and Its Discontents, was quite accurate, it turns out, when he predicted that the more civilization you have, the more neurosis you have. Universal civilization, universal neurosis. And he thought so because he understood that civilization is based on curbing instinctual freedom and eros. He thought it was a good bargain because he realized too that you can't have work, you can't have culture until you do that, until you suppress that freedom. And he knew neurosis would be the result, but if you can't have work, if people aren't going to work unless they're broken, if you will, can't have culture, symbolic culture, well, that's the price you got to pay. And along the same lines, Kaczynski, Theodore Kaczynski, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, with his industrial society in its future, drawing on Jacques Ellul, really said the same thing. The more technology we have, the less freedom and the less fulfillment the individual has. I think that's really basically a work of psychology. And I think he demonstrates that extremely well. And what really demonstrates it is reality. The course of the movement of modernity and technology and mass society. It's hard to deny that isn't the general sense or the general reality that we have.
Tudi sistematična redukcija žensk v družbi, njihova objektifikacija in prevlada kulture, ki dominirajo moški, je to, kar civilizacija je, pravi Zerzan. Civilizacija preprečuje svobodo, podobno pa je tudi s patriarhijo. Pojasnjuje Zerzan.
You can see, I think, civilization and patriarchy as roughly equivalent, that the systematic reduction of women in society, the objectification of women, the coming of a male-defined culture in a more totalizing way, is what civilization is. And and this begins really with domestication. I think really that's the most operative term or institution, which immediately precedes civilization. And it isn't surprising to see that in terms of patriarchy, that move to domestication or agriculture is fundamentally a move to control, and dominate nature. And along that same shift or movement is domesticating humans, and women in a more specific sense, in the sense that we understand it today.
It's necessary to keep order in a free society. Then we shall introduce measures which give them what they need.
Življenje pred pojavom civilizacije naj bi nasprotno temeljilo na egalitarizmu, na deljenju, relativni avtonomiji in enakopravnosti spolov, saj šele civilizacija, tehnika in kapitalizem predstavljajo neločljivo enotnost dominacije nad naravo in človekom.
What we know about life in the past, in the recent decades here, about life outside of civilization, life before domestication, and I think it's widely understood now as a shift of paradigms. And although a lot of this stuff was already known, but it wasn't enough to, I think, kind of qualitatively change our estimation of what life was like outside of civilization. We were still imbibing the elixir of progress, and you've got to develop and so on. But I think somewhere along the lines, not so long ago, we now look at it quite differently. And the literature of anthropology and archaeology is where this comes from. This is not an invention of anarchists or something. Otherwise, it would sound like nothing but ideology. But in the most general terms, for example, this is the fact that we also call it band society, or not we, but it band society, gatherer hunter society, forager society. These are just words for pre-domesticated life. And one of the points is, this was one of the points that really wasn't much open to question before recent decades, but it was that there was an ethos of sharing, food sharing most obviously, among gatherer hunter societies. That was the prevailing norm. That was just a sort of given, if you will. Leisure time, it's a modern term. It's hard to apply that to this period because work, as we know it, wasn't invented yet. But the amount of time and energy needed for subsistence, again, a big generalization here, but only a few hours a day was required. A life of considerable autonomy for women. Again, I think no one would say there was perfect equality or autonomy for women, but quite a bit. Especially in terms of autonomy, I think that the literature shows that. Also shows no evidence at all of warfare, no evidence that can be found for organized violence. Personal violence, probably, we don't know. Nobody wants to, I think, make a idealized, romanticized version of all this, but some things now are pretty well understood, I think. And no destruction of the planet. You know, people live for 2 or 3 million years without doing what we've managed to do in just a scant period of time, the rampant systematic destruction of the natural, of nature. In fact, it's well known, really it's a consensus, that the only successful adaptation of humans to the planet was the couple of million years of gatherer-hunter life. After that, it pretty rapidly goes downhill. I mean, people were making tools and cooking with fire 2 million years ago. We know, we understand now as well, that they had an intelligence equal to ours. And yet, we don't know why exactly. We'll never know. Intelligence and consciousness are two different things, but there used to be this big conundrum in the anthropological literature. Why did people take so long to figure out, well, it wasn't a matter of figuring out, but going to agriculture, going to domestication? And now, at least in the US textbooks, the question really is, why did they ever do that? They had a pretty good thing, and why did they ever do that? I mean, then you've got war, you've got every negative thing.
Je peux très bien me
passer de toi
comme envie de sang sur les murs, comme envie d'accident.
ça ne me touche pas. Je peux très bien me
passer de toi.
J'ai comme envie de n'importe quoi, comme envie de crever ton chat, comme envie de tout casser chez toi, comme envie de t'expliquer comme ça, je peux très bien me
passer de toi.
J'ai comme envie d'une fin torride, comme on n'en voit qu'au cinéma. J'ai comme envie que ce soit terrible et que ça se passe juste en bas de chez toi, je peux très bien me
passer de toi.
Še vedno predstavljamo pomembnega predstavnika anarhoprimitivizma Johna Zerzana, trdi, da tehnologija ni neutralna, ljudi pa ne povezuje in jim ne daje moči.
Claims about technology which are I think fundamentally lies. One is that technology is neutral. Lots of people are agreed on that, the left and the right. Technology is neutral. It's a neutral quantum. It depends on who's in charge. It depends on what you do with it. Well, I don't know what you do with, human washing machines or a lot of other things, but it's never been neutral. I don't think it ever has been neutral because it makes more sense to look at it as the basic values or choices that a society makes are seen in its technology. You could say that the technology is the physicality of society. There's no way to separate the two. And if your values are mediation and artificializing of everything and distancing, coldness, and so on, then you've got modern technology. You've got hyper technology, which is disembodying things every day. Now, community. There's so many people are now using the word in the US anyway, community, every other word, just when there's pretty much zero community. That's gone. But now we get virtual community. It's just as good. In fact, we forgot about the other kind. There's no, like face-to-face community, actual community. That's, don't trouble yourself about that. That's gone for good too, of course, according to some people. And what we see in American television commercials, for example, and I'd be surprised if it isn't universal, is that technology connects people, technology empowers people, and technology gives us this richness of variety. Well, in fact, as we get more and more technology, I'm not saying this is all of it, there's capitalism in there too, I'm not unaware of that, but in fact, we're so disconnected and isolated, we're so disempowered, and we live in the most standardized societies that have ever existed. So it's exactly the opposite, really, of what's being said. We're trading away everything. As we lose more and more, the technology is saying, no, you're not, you're just, it's wonderful, and all these claims.
Seveda pa so možne tudi alternative, kar John Zerzan poudarja.
You know, my point in as a kind of activist and along these lines, as it doesn't have to be this way. And I think you could say, maybe I'll wind up with this, you could say, as some people have, that there's really two traditions, there's two paradigms. And one is division of labor, which seemed to slowly come along and lead to domestication. Domestication, civilization, technology, progress, technology, hyper technology, the virtual, you know, the whole thing. That's one tradition. And a lot of people have no problem with that. I'm waiting for somebody on the left to have a problem with it. The other tradition is that life outside of technology, the indigenous people whose cultures are being wiped out in the world by this movement. And I think for some of us, the ideal goal would be face-to-face societies of maybe, I don't know, 100 people or something, which is the way we lived for a couple of million years. And that's where you have a direct responsibility to each other in a real way. And you don't have it in mass society. In a world of mass society, mass production, mass culture, we're just passively going along, unable to take responsibility.
Obstajata torej dve tradiciji. Prvo predstavlja delitev dela, civilizacija, tehnologija, napredek, drugo pa življenje izven tehnologije, ki ga je človeštvo živelo več milijonov let. Stališče anarhoprimitivizma pa Zrzan poskuša ponazoriti tudi na konkretnejšem primeru.
Well, okay, I'll just wind up with one reference to make it a little bit more down to earth, or maybe some practical reference here, is globalization or anti-globalization. Well, you know, the anti-globalization movement, there are many questions about tactics and so on, and especially where there's such a problem with armed force in many places where people come to try to resist in the streets, these summits and so forth. But there's also the question of what is anti-globalization? And so far, that is something of an illusion, I think, as well. I mean, the left is not anti-globalization. They have no problem with globalization at all. Not at all, but not fundamentally. They want a humanized reform, kind of from the bottom up, globalization, whatever that would mean. They don't have any problem at all with more mass society for everybody. Everybody should be consumers, I guess, you know, the whole thing like that. So, but some of us don't want any world system, I think it's a growing number of people. Isn't that part of the problem, this global system that standardizes and homogenizes? And it really has a lot to do with technology. You can say, oh, that's not our politics. We respect all differences. We're multicultural. Well, I'm not saying, I'm sure they're sincere, but that's not how it works. So that question, I think, is one of the ways you could focus on this. What is globalization? Should we really be anti-globalization? In other words, another way to put it, I think, as an anarchist, I think the goal really should be a world that doesn't need running. And that would be a radically decentralized world, and it wouldn't be globalized. I will end here. I keep pulling back. Just kind of a little funny story I thought of. Some of us were at a gathering in Washington State in northwest part of U.S., and some of us were walking around, and we heard people saying, there was kind of a buzz, and somebody said, those primitivists, they think the world is flat. We just heard this guy say the world is flat. And actually, what this guy said, and not everybody has exactly the same politics or same exact, you know, way to put things. But he was talking about the famous picture of the Earth from the moon, nice blue planet. And he was suggesting that that's the perspective of power, to have that kind of perspective. And for people who are part of the Earth, part of the natural thing, chain of things, it doesn't really matter if the Earth is round or flat, because that's not that's an issue to power in a way. It's not necessarily an issue to a society that's organized along those lines instead of a globalized thing.
Ja, to pa je tudi vse v nocošnji črni luknji, ki se me pripravlja Gita. Simon še naprej ostaja z vami, mi pa se spet slišmo naslednji teden. Čau!
What's a revolution to you? To kill their bosses and take their money.
Revolution! Revolution!
Dobro jebate, kak ti možeš u jednoj demokratskoj državi dizat narodne ustanake?